To introduce the discussion, I want to look at a very famous Rambam. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Teshuva Perek Hey, the very central concept in Jewish Machshava of Bechira. Rishus l'chol adam nesuna, im rotz lahatos atzmo derech tova uliyos tzadik, harishus biyado. If a person would like to lead himself in the path of good and be a tzadik, so he's perfectly, he has complete permission to do that. And if he wants to direct himself towards evil, and he would like to do bad, so he can also be a Rasha. That's completely up to a person. Man can be whoever he would like to be. This is what Hashem gave man, the ability to know good or evil. It's up to you. The Rambam tells us in the next paragraph, Al Yavo Rimachshavtecha Dover Zesh Omrim Tipshei Umos Olam. Down here is very Harif Lashon. Don't think that mistaken thought that so many foolish people think, the Rov Golmei B'nei Yisrael, and so many Golmei, a Golem is like a lifeless, brainless, you know, just blob walking around. Do you have any more Makotos here? Okay, sorry. A lifeless blob that's just walking around. Rove Golmei B'nei Yisrael, that they think mistakenly that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Gozer Al Ha'adam Mitchilas Briyos B'yos Tzadik Rasha. That a person is predetermined. Fatalists think that man is predetermined to be either a Tzadik or a Rasha. It's programmed in your genes. Ein Adavar Kein. Elo Kol Adam Roilo Lios Tzadik Moshe Rabbeinu O Rasha Kiravam. Every person can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Very carefully, he says a tzaddik, because we know lo kam b'Yisrael kamo she'od. Not necessarily be a navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. That might have been very specific for Moshe Rabbeinu. But anyone can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, or a rasha like Yeravam. Dover ze ikar gadol hu, hu omer haTorah. Rambam tells us this is a central theme in Judaism. The belief and the reality that man is given free will. Man is given free will. And that he is not predetermined to become a Rasha or a Tzaddik. So central to Jewish belief, Meshech Chachma tells us in Bereishis, Nasa Adam B'Tzalmenu, B'Tzalmo, that this is the definition, Meshech Chachma suggests, of what Tzelem Elokim is. What does it mean that we're created B'Tzelem Elokim? Just like God can act independently, this is a wild idea. Just like God can act completely independently, so too Hashem created man in His image, that man can act completely independently. Meshech Chachma tells us, Hatzel Melokim hu ha-bechira ha-chavshus, beli teva machriach, rak me-rotzon v'seichel chavshi. That man is completely in control of his own destiny is the Tzelem Elokim. That's what it means to be created in the image of God. Now this whole concept of Tzelem Elokim, which apparently is very, very crucial, central, and important to Judaism, we're told, or we see from another Gemara, is completely question shattered by a very startling Gemara that we find in Shabbos. Very end of Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara there is going through people who were born at different times of the year. And the Gemara tells us, Haiman de b'ma'adim, a person who's born in one of the constellations, Ye geber oshid dama. He's going to be a spiller of blood. Amar Rav Ashi, I umna, meaning he'll either be a bloodletter, some type of doctor. I ganva, he'll be a robber, but not just a thief, but a armed murderous robber, Rashi tells us. I tivcha, or he'll be a sheichet, he'll be a slaughterer. I mo'ala, or he'll be a mo'al. If you're born in this certain constellation, and again, we have to understand what exactly that means, this constellation. Does that mean it one of like the constellations like horoscopes? I think it's a little bit more sophisticated than that. It doesn't just necessarily mean born between this date and this date. But if a person is born at a certain time of the year, there are certain spiritual forces that act upon him, and it determines that he's going to be a person who spills blood. So Rav Ashi says, yeah, he'll either be a murderer, or a shochet, or a moel. That's what he's going to be. Now this Gemara is very, very startling because it seems to go against everything that we've just been speaking about the centrality of Bechira Chavshus, that a person has free will. And the truth is, the very beginning of this week's Parsha also seems to be in line with the Gemara and Shabbos and against this central concept of free will. We're all very familiar with some of the Rashis in the beginning of the Parsha. Rashi tells us in Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf Beis, Pasuk tells us this Lashon of Yisrotitzu, they were running, the children in her womb. Rabbi Seinu Darshu Lashon Ritza, that's an expression of running. Kishahisa Overis Al Pischei Torah, Shalshem Ve'Ever, Yaakov Rots Mefarches Lotzeis, that when she would walk by a Beis Medrash, so Yaakov would all of a sudden start kicking and going nuts. He was trying to get out of the womb. Overas al pischei avodah zarah, Esav mefarches lotzeis. Esav, all of a sudden, even before he was born, Esav was all excited and passionate about avodah zarah. Very, very strange. What happened to the idea that a person is born and he's pure and over his life he becomes either evil or tzaddik? What do you mean that already as a fetus, Esav was excited about avodah zarah? Pasuk also tells us explicitly, three Pesukim later, that when he came out, he was an Admoni. He was very red. He was hairy. Strange baby. Comes out with a beard, dreadlocks, red skin. And we're told by Rashi, what does that mean? Simin hu shiyas shofech damin. It was clear right when he came out that this guy was going to be a murderer. It was clear. He was a baby, for God's sakes. What does that mean? We can only tell from when he was born that he was going to be a murderer. Free will, b'chira chofshes. What, he wasn't created to tzelem Elokim? So we obviously have to understand what's going on here. And the beginning of understanding this is a very, very famous Gemara in Brachas and in Ksubis, which Habal Leil Letova will get up to. The Gemara tells us, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz meyira shamayim. Everything, some of us already got up to it. Everything, I'm a little bit behind in the Kiyas program. Don't tell her filing. Everything is in the hands of Shemayim. Chutz Meyira Shemayim. It's a very strange expression. Because Yira Shemayim, as the Rambam tells us in his Hakdamah 2, in Shemona Prakma, his Hakdamah to Pirkei Avos, the Rambam tells us that, what does that mean, Yira Shemayim? Yira Shemayim means all of mitzvos and all of averos. Yira Shemayim means all of your avodas Hashem. So it's a very, very funny expression. Hakol bidei shamayim. Everything's in the hands of shamayim except all of your avodas Hashem. So it sounds like very little is in the hands of shamayim because so much is in your hands. It's a very, very strange expression. Hakol bidei shamayim. Chutz meyira shamayim. What, is your shamayim milsa zutrusa? Is that a small thing, your shamayim? It's a very, very major thing. It dominates our entire life. So that, notwithstanding the peculiarity of this statement, we have to understand just what does it mean? Hakol bidei shamayim chutz meyira shamayim. What things exactly are determined by heaven? What are bidei shamayim? So Tosfos tells us, first of all, Nida, it's on the source sheet here, Tosfos Nida tells us, it means toldos ha'adam umidosav. Toldos ha'adam, not his children, but toladot means teva, nature. Toladat adam umidosav. This is expanded on a little bit more in Tosfos and Ksubis and Daf Lamed, Amud Aleph. What does Tosfos tell us there in Ksubis? Tosfos tells us it means Hasam kai al havlad b'me'imo. For instance, gozrim im ye ani o ashir, gibor o chalash, tipesh o chacham. What's determined by heaven? What's the kol bidei shamayim? That means things that take place when you're a fetus. When it's determined whether you're going to be rich or poor. Whether you're going to be strong or weak. Whether you're going to be intelligent or less intelligent. About tzaddik v'rasha, but whether you're going to be righteous or not, or rasha or wicked, lo. Those types of things are not determined. And the truth is, this is really a Gemara. The Gemara explicitly says in Nida, as we see on the source sheet, I believe. Yeah. Darish of Chanina bar Papa. Oso malach hamamuna al harayon leilo shemo. There's a certain angel who's in charge of pregnancies, and he takes each tipa, u'ma'amido lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he stands each tipa up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'omer lefanu ribono she'olam, tipa zu mati elel. What's going to be with this baby? What's the eventual going to happen to this child right here? Gibor ocharosh, chacham otipesh, ashir ani, is it going to be rich, is it going to be poor, is it going to be intelligent or not, is it going to be wealthy or not? Ilu Rasha Tzadik Lokamer, but the angel doesn't ask whether he's going to be a Tzadik or a Rasha. Why? This is like Rav Chanina. Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz meyira shamayim. Whether you're going to be a tzaddik or a rasha, that's Yiras Shamayim. That's in your hands. What is in the hands of heaven? What is predetermined? Whether you're going to be rich or poor, whether you're going to be intelligent or not so intelligent, whether you're going to be strong or weak, these things are determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu before. What do we see from these Gemaras, from Tosfos? What we see is that every single person is born with certain predetermined characteristics, natural qualities, tendencies, inborn proclivities. Everyone is born with certain natural elements to himself. This the Rambam tells us as well, in Hilchos Deos, the very bottom of the sheet, very beginning of Hilchos Deos, suggested reading for anyone who hasn't learned it yet. Deos harbe yesh l'kol echad v'echad mibnei adam. There are lots of different natures. Zo mishunu mizu rechok mimenu b'yoser. Very, very different. Yesh adam shehu bal chema. There's some people who are just born with type A personalities. That's just who they are. They're born with a certain natural tendency towards anger. Short-fused. Koes tamid. V'yesh adam shedaito miyushevas loveno koes klal. There are other people, we all know this. There are some people who are just so chilled out. Everything could be going wrong, and they just sit back. They're chilled out. Nothing seems to bother them. Yesh adam shu gobelev v'yoser. There's some people who are born with just a certain self-centeredness. A certain ego. V'yeshu shafal ruach v'yoser. And there are other people who are born with a more natural modesty. More natural humility. Kol adeos. And there are certain of these things, these natures, that a person is born with. Other ones you just have a tendency towards, but they need to be developed, they need to be brought out, and the different experiences that you have in your life will bring them out. What we see from the Gemara and what the Rambam tells us is that it's 100% true that a person is born with certain natural characteristics. However, and here's where it gets very, very important to pay attention. However, our goal in life is to realize that we are also like everybody else. We are born with certain strengths, we're born with certain weaknesses. Inborn elements to ourselves that aren't because of nurture, they're because of nature. We were created that way. And yet, our challenge in life is to perfect those areas and to work on those areas. We're all created with shortcomings, obviously, and our goal in life is that we have to overcome those shortcomings. It takes a big person, obviously, to realize that he's lacking in shleimus, to look in the mirror and to not just say, wow, who's the prettiest of them all, but to look in the mirror and to realize that, you know what, I have certain shortcomings and I need to address those and I need to overcome them. The Gemara relates that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ezra Agadol both daven for rain, but only Rabbi Akiva was answered. The Gemara says, why? What was the tremendous milah of Rabbi Akiva that he was answered over Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol? You can imagine, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol was probably a pretty big person. And yet, Rabbi Akiva was answered. Why? It says because Rabbi Akiva was ma'avir al-midosav. He was able to perfect and change his inborn midos. And that put him on a higher level than Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. This, you should realize, is probably a 180 degree opposite view of most of secular culture. We are told all the time, we are given the message that you are fine the way you are, you don't have to change. You were created this way? Don't be embarrassed. The opposite. You should revel in this. This is how you are. You have some strange type of fantasy for this or for that. You have some strange type of taiva. You are just an angry person. Okay, that's who you are. You don't have to change. Be proud. You know what? Make a parade. And dance about it, because this is who you are. You don't have to change anything. God created you this way, and that's it. There's nothing wrong with it if that's... You're an angry person? Okay. So you have the angry man parade, and you can march with everybody, and you can all celebrate the fact that you're angry. And you lose your temper once in a while, that's nothing to be ashamed of. God made you that way. You know, you can't change your hair color. I mean, you can. But why should you? God created you that way. Don't be embarrassed about your hair color. So don't be embarrassed about the fact that you're angry. And we believe that you can't say that. You can't say, this is the way I am, so what should I do? I'm very nervous about money. I'm just a nervous person, so I can't give tzedakah because I'm just nervous. You were created with a certain nerves about money, about financial security. Great, so that's where your nisayon is. And that's where you need to work on yourself. Right there, that area, that's how you know where you need to work. And that's how you know where you're going to find your shleimus. That's why in the culture around us, we find 40-year-olds who are still acting the same way they were when they were 15. I don't just mean like playing video games all day. But when they're 40 years old, they're still losing their temper the same way they were when they were 10, when they were 12, when they were 15, because they didn't work on their anger. Anger was something that they were born with, and that's just who I am. What can I do? You know, fate. God made me this way. This machlokas is not a new machlokas, our differing view from the culture we find ourselves. The Medrash tells us there are the Akiva and Tarnas Rufus. They're very similar machlokas. Tarnas Rufus was really trying to get at Mila. So he went to Rabbi Akiva and he said, Rabbi Akiva, why don't you tell me, this is in the Medrash Tanchum, I have it on the sheet here. Tarnas Rufus said to Rabbi Akiva, he said, Rabbi Akiva, why don't you tell me, what's greater, God's creations or man's, what God does or what man does? So Rabbi Akiva surprisingly said, what man does. Tarnas Rufus was very surprised. He said, what? I set you up for that question. Look at heavens. Can you create something like that? So he said, well, let's talk about things that I and God are both able, we're both shayach to. He said, like, for instance, how about this loaf of, this wheat? Rabbi Akiva leaned over and pulled off a stalk of wheat. He said, what's greater, this, what God created, or, and he pulled out of his pocket a beautiful Italian calzone. And he said, which one is greater, the bread or the wheat? Obviously, what man does is on a much higher level and much greater than what God does. And Tarnas Rufus said, oh, you know, I was trying to get you on Mila. And Rabbi Akiva says, I know. That, what was Tarnas Rufus arguing? Why are you trying to change your body? That's how you were created. You were created with a foreskin. That's how you were. Don't try to change who you are. And Rabbi Akiva was arguing that, no, we are commanded to make a tikkun on ourselves. In fact, the Maharal tells us, this is the entire deeper yesod of Mila. The yesod of Mila is that we were created imperfect, and we need to do something to perfect ourselves. We weren't created perfect. We need to do acts that are going to change us irrevocably, forever. And that's a pretty big change, Mila. You can ask my son. He's still trying to get over the traumatic experience, I think. But yet, the mitzvah, the message of Mila is that you can change, and that you should change. And that's one of the tachlis that we have in life. Our goal, symbolized by the mitzvah of Mila, is to look in the mirror and to identify what about us needs to be changed, and then to fix it. But we should point out there's a lot of confusion about this yesod, because many people think that means that you have to take so many elements about yourself that you might actually take pride in, and you have to become, lose everything that's unique about yourself, because hey, you need to change. Everyone needs to change. But this is not true. The yesod is not that you need to take things about yourself and get rid of them. But you have to learn that everything you have, whether it's kas, no matter what you were born with, can be channeled towards avodas Hashem. And that is our mission, to take the things that we were created with and to learn to channel them towards avodas Hashem. Even our worst midos can be used for good. The Sfas Emes writes that this is the reason why one of the alchets is alchets shechatanu lefanacha v'yetzahara. And everybody asks, what do you mean? All of the sins we sinned because of the Yetzirah. Why are we clapping and asking Hashem for forgiveness that we sinned because of our Yetzirah? Of course we sinned because of our Yetzirah. All the sins are because of the Yetzirah. So Sfas Emes says, no, what it means is that we sinned in that we didn't use our Yetzirah properly. The Yetzirah, the place where we have taiva to do things that are inappropriate, to be a ba'akas. To be a Baal Lashon Hara. We happen to be a great speaker. And we could tell excellent, we're a recontour, which means a great storyteller. And we could tell over the best stories about other people, make everyone laugh. I could just present it in a way that's just great. So you have a tremendous skill, so use it for good. And that's Al-Khech Gadal Fanecha. I didn't look into my Yetzirah and use my bad midos for good. That's Al-Khech Gadal Fanecha, the Yetzirah. I thought perhaps this is the pshat also in the Medrash that tells us. The Medrash tells us that. Let me see if I can read it here for you. Ah, here we go. Gracious Rabbi, Rav Nachman bar Shmuel, by Nachman, b'shem of Shmuel, by Nachman, Amar. Hine tov ma'od ze yetzer tov, v'hine tov ma'od ze yetzer hara. We're told that when the pasuk said v'hine Tov Ma'od, this is a reference to the Yetzirah. The Chi Yetzirah, Tov Ma'od, Itmah? The Medrash says, could it really be that when the Torah says Tov Ma'od, it's referring to the Yetzer Hara? El Ululei Yetzer Hara, Lo Bana Adam Bayis, Lo Nasi Isha. What do you mean? If it wasn't for the Yetzer Hara, you wouldn't build a house, you wouldn't have a family. So what does that mean? That when a person's having relations with his wife, it's supposed to be Kulo coming from the Yetzer Hara? When he builds a house, it's supposed to be coming from the Yetzer Hara? He's supposed to be trying to sin? No, obviously what it means is that the koach of the Yetzer Hara, even though it can lead you to so much bad, it can also lead you to so much tremendous good. The Pasuk tells us in Mishlei, Chav Beis, Per Chav Beis, Pasuk Vav, Chanoch lenar al pi darko, gam ki yaskin lo yosor mimena. Chanoch lenar al pi darko, that we need to educate the child, lefi his derech, and if so, when he gets older, ki yaskin lo yosor mimena, he won't stray from the path. So the Gra says, what does that mean, chanoch lenar al pi darko? What that really means is that every person has a mazel. Back to that Gemara in Shabbos. Everybody is born with certain natural tendencies. The goal of chinuch is not to make everybody the same. The goal of chinuch is to identify a person's mazel, a person's constellation, which again means his natural proclivities, his tendencies, figure out what's unique and what his natural essence is, and then channel that. Don't try to break it. That's what the Gra's Lashon is. Don't try to break a person's midos. Try to channel their midos. Chanoch lenar al pi darko. And he says that that's the pshat in the Gemara there in Shabbos. The Gemara there in Shabbos provides for us the entire spectrum of things you can do if you've got that bloody nature. You could be a Rasha, a robber, murderer. You could be a Benoni, a Shochet. Or you could be a Tzaddik, a Moel. The reason why the Gemara chooses such extreme examples, the Gra says, is because it's trying to teach us the Yesod that even though you were born in Madim and you're going to be a blood spiller, you could spill blood for mitzvos, like a Moel, you could spill blood for Averos, killing people, or you could spill blood and be a Benoni. Even though you have predetermined qualities, it doesn't take away from you your Bechira. And this is what the Pasuk tells us. Train a person in line with their kochos. Chanoch lenar al pi darko. And if you do this, then gam ki yaskin lo yosor mimena. That's the way that you know he's going to stay the course. If you don't try to fight against who he is, but you try to work with who he is. This is a message that I know this is like a nice fluffy idea that like you're probably sitting here and saying like, obviously, we know all this already. But I challenge you to really think about your goals for the year and throughout your life. Are you trying to become somebody else? You look at somebody else, you look at your roommate and you say, he's really this, he's really that. I should really stop being me and start being more him. Or do you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, what's unique about me? What are my kochos and how can I use my kochos to become even better me? Not to become him, to become better me. You look at your Rebbe and you don't look at your Rebbe and say, how can I become more like him? Lose my identity and become him. What you can do is you can look at a Rebbe, you can look at a Chaver and say, wow, he has this certain Midah. I identify with that Midah. Look what he's done with that Midah. How can I take that Midah that I have also and develop it, work on it? Connecting to a Rebbe, connecting to a friend is not about desiring to be like someone else. It's about identifying similarities and trying to learn from that person how they worked on those areas. The Sefer Siduro Shel Shabbos, the author of the Be'er Mayim Chaim. So he relates to us a very, very deep understanding of concepts that we think we're already familiar with. There's a concept called a tzaddik v'tovlo and a tzaddik v'ralo. In general, we assume that that means, tzaddik v'tovlo means a tzaddik that good things happen to him. That we're okay with. Tzaddik v'ralo is the tzaddik who experiences hardship. And that's the big question that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know. Hodieni nos darken. Right? Tell me a little bit about yourself. Explain to me, the Gemara tells us, why there are certain tzaddikim that suffer. Tzaddik v'ralo. But the Siddur Shal Shabbos tells us there's another understanding of those concepts. Tzaddik v'tovlo means that someone who's a tzaddik, and it's tovlo, meaning it's natural for him. It's good. This is how he is. He's just like a tzaddik. Yeled tov Yerushalayim. He's just a good boy. And that's who he is. He was created that way. He's got a certain natural tendency to just be a good guy. He's a tzaddik v'tovlo, and it's very fitting of him. But there's a tzaddik v'ralo. That was the secret Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know about. What does it mean, a tzaddik v'ralo? Someone who's a tzaddik, and yet it goes against all of his natural tendencies. It's ralo. For him, for lo, for him, this is ra. It's the opposite of who he is. And yet he's a tzaddik. How does a person become a tzaddik when he has so many natural tendencies that seem to oppose that? That's the secret of tzaddik v'ralo. How does he channel his kochos? And this, perhaps, is what the Midrash is teaching us about Esav. Yes, Esav had an unbridled wildness, strength, a koach. He was an admoni. That means that he had a certain propensity towards spilling blood. In fact, when he was even in the fetus, he was rushing to always get out towards Avodah Zarah. He had a natural urge towards certain things. He was created with certain tendencies. And yet, even though he was an admoni, the Medrash tells us in Bereishis Rabbah, it's on the source sheet, that Esav wasn't the only admoni. Esav wasn't the only admoni. Admoni, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, ki'ilu shofech damim. It was ki'ilu, he was a shofech damim. Kevan shira'a Shmuel, as David admoni, when Shmuel was looking for a new king, he was brought into the house of David, right? You remember the whole Lahavdil Cinderella story. You don't have any other sons, no one else who could fit into this shoe. Oh, there's one guy in the back, it's not him. Let me see him. And they meet David. And he sees David, and what does David look like? He's an admoni. And Shmuel gets very nervous. This guy's going to be the king? The Yishlach v'Yavyehu, the admoni. He was red. This guy's an admoni like Esav. I don't want him. This guy's going to be the king? Don't worry, even though he's an admoni, he's got his eyes set in the right place. He's yafei inayim. Esav midas atzmo hayahorek, aval zeh midas Sanhedrin hayahorek. It's true they both killed, but Esav killed on his own, and David killed al pi Sanhedrin. And the Medrash is teaching us that this was David's greatness. David's greatness was that him and Esav were cut from the same cloth. Maybe David also, maybe, was running around in the fetus every time they walked by a base of Avodah Zarah. Maybe he also came out and everyone looked at him and said, "Shh, this guy's roy to be shofech damim." And yet David HaMelech was mavir al midosav. He was exactly like Esav, but he accomplished. He worked on himself. This perhaps we can understand a little bit deeper now why it was that Yitzchak was so taken with Esav. Why was it that when Yitzchak was looking at his sons, he was putting all his stock in Esav? What, he was just some blind old senile man who didn't really realize what was going on and he didn't pick up on what was going on until much later? Obviously, that's not the story at all. Yitzchak saw in Esav tremendous kochos. He wasn't just a tzaddik v'tovlo. He was a tzaddik v'ralo. Do you know what heights a tzaddik v'ralo can reach if he diverts his attention properly, if he directs his attention properly? The Vestler quotes a Zohar that Yitzchak, when he saw Esav, it was kamoni. It was like him. He was like him. This lechor is the pshat in the Zohar. Yitzchak saw in Esav a tremendous koach, a tremendous gevura, tremendous strength. And this is why Yitzchak, when he's talking to Esav, he sends him out to get him a meal. What does he say to him? Sona kleacha. You know, take up your tools and go out and get me something. But in the Sifrei Chassidus, they point out, what does it mean? Sona kleacha. Raise up your kalim. Didn't just mean pick up your sword or your bow and arrow and go out there. But sona kleacha, raise up your kalim. Hashem gave you tremendous kalim. Now all you got to do is elevate them. Use them for avodas Hashem. The earlier in Gemara Shabbos that we spoke about the different mazalos, the end of that Gemara is ein mazal Yisrael. There's no mazal Yisrael. And the Meiri explains that what does this mean? It means that Klal Yisrael were given Torah, and Torah plus Bechira Chafshis allows a person to overcome his mazel. That is exactly the message of the Gemara in Shabbos, Ein Mazel Yisrael. It means that even though, yes, you were born in a certain time, you were given certain predetermined abilities and hardships that you're going to need to overcome, Ein Mazel Yisrael means that if you study Torah, you internalize Torah, and you work on being Mavir al Midosecha, so then, Ein Mazal Yisrael, you are not controlled by the mazalos. David HaMelech exclaims in Tehillim, Eschata'ai Negdi Samir. My sins are always before me. What does that mean? He's always harping on his sins? That's pretty depressing. Eschata'ai Negdi Samir. What does that mean? What about tshuva? So, the Be'er Ma'ariv Chaim here explains as well that what it meant was, David, of course he did tshuva. He wasn't thinking his whole life dwelling on the sins that he did. So what does it mean that his sins were always before his eyes? What it means is his koach to sin. He didn't remember the act and always harp on the act. He looked at himself always and said, you're that guy who when he was a teenager did X, Y, and Z. And that means you have tremendous koach. He kept the vision of sin in front of him, not to harp on the sin, but to always remember his tremendous koach for sin. Because with tremendous koach for sin, comes with it tremendous koach for good.